I love having people around. I hate leaving my house, but I love to host. My friends are all over the place. When you go and see them, it's such a mission. So I want everyone to come to me. This dining room table has been reduced in size twice. My dad was helping me kind of get the wood for it. And he was like, are you sure you want a 2 meter dinner table? I've got like a big props cupboard with more tableware than any one person needs who is hosting state dinners. So I used to have this incredible uncle who was called Uncle Tony and Uncle Michael. They were my uncles, but they weren't my uncles. All the crockery and like all these antiques. But Uncle Tony always had the full set of Bordello Panera. I don't like anything to look too... I'm already going to break the rules because I'm going to invite two people that are alive and I feel like there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Hello and welcome back to season two of the podcast. I am so excited to be back with a brand new look and a fabulous guest to kick things off. Today I am chatting to Charlotte Jacklin, a content creator and all-round lovely human being who I followed on Instagram for quite a while now. She regularly posts like interior, foodie, fashion, lifestyle content across all her socials, and she loves to host. So obviously we had a great chat. We also went off on some really big tangents on this one, but I'm sure you're going to love it. So let's get right into it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is episode one of season two. You are opening the
really setting the tone for the season. You might not get any more listeners after this. They might listen to episode one and be like, not for me, thanks. Had potential.
Sorry, I'm out. Season one was great, but
yeah, season two really took a nosedive. They got that Charlotte Jacklin in, it was terrible.
Do you want to do a little intro for anyone who may not know who you are?
I mean, who doesn't know who I am, honestly?
Well, I mean,
outrageous.
They should, but just in case.
I am Charlotte Jacklin. I am 37 and three quarters years old. I live in Lincolnshire. I'm a content creator. I create content on Instagram and TikTok. And I also have a marketing agency that I set up myself in January.
So exciting. I saw that.
Yeah, it's great.
How's it all going?
I mean, yeah, it's going really well. I absolutely love creating for Instagram and TikTok. I do have a blog and a newsletter as well, but they're a little bit erratic. So I don't want to plug those too much.
Same with my newsletter, I feel you.
Yeah, absolutely. But my background is in digital marketing, so I've kind of come full circle to come back to that. Mm-hmm. I've got a bit of a 2 years and 3 months until I'm 40. So lots of things are happening now because I don't want to be like, you know, that episode of Friends where Rachel Green sat on the stairs and she turns 30 and she works backwards from all the things she wants and then realizes she shouldn't be in a relationship with Tag. That's kind of mm-hmm. how I am, not with my husband, but you know, like with work and life stuff. So I'm like, the time is mm-hmm. now. Whatever it is that you've been thinking about for months and months, like do it now, because by the time you're 40 you'll be very glad that you did.
Fair. How did you get into like content creating in the first place?
I had a magazine that I started at uni. It was called Betty. I basically had a day job where I worked in digital marketing. And this was back in the day, you know, almost when the internet was invented. Lots of brands weren't selling online. So, for example, my first job out of uni was working for Lulu Guinness. And there was just mm-hmm. me and my boss. And then after a year or so, me and my boss left and she went to set up Stella McCartney's e-commerce. Like, brands were so scared of selling online. It was such a wild time. So I did that in the daytime. And then I went home in the evening and I did Betty in the evening. So I was young, had energy, I'd literally go to bed at 2, have like 3 hours sleep, get up and carry on working on it. So that was biannually. So that was 2 issues a year. Me and my friend did it and we self-published and it was in loads of different countries around the world. And we also had an Instagram amazing. That went with that. We didn't know what we were doing. We did an amazing job for two people that had no idea what they were doing. And we used to approach brands for ads and slowly but surely they kept asking if they could have Instagram ads. And we were like, yeah, sure. No idea what you're talking about, but we can figure that out. And so I used to create all the content for Instagram. And then we started doing sponsored content online. So that's kind of how it started. And then a few years later, we were still doing the magazine. I had gone freelance by that point. I was lecturing at uni as well. And then I found out I was pregnant and I was like, I cannot have 3 jobs and a baby, like mm-hmm. almost like that great film Three Men and a Baby.
As soon as you said that, that's what came into my mind.
Oh, it's my absolute favorite. My husband told me that they're remaking it and I'm devastated.
I haven't watched it in years. To be fair,
it's an absolute masterpiece. Tom Selleck in those shorts.
Okay. going to watch it this week.
Oh, do.
They did another one as well. It was like Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah, I can quote it. I mean, I can tell that I can tell you're interested in it, but not at the same level. So I'm not going to. I'm not going to continue.
Okay. Right. I'll go watch it and then we can have another chat.
So, yeah. So that's when I found out I was pregnant. I was like, I cannot have, yeah, three jobs and a baby. So I kind of gambled it all. Me and my business partner at the time went separate ways, and she was more than happy, you know, for us to mm-hmm. do that. And so I kind of gambled it all. And then when my firstborn was 8 months old, I launched a blog, renamed the Instagram, and have been doing it kind of full time. She's nearly
Amazing.
Seven. So yeah, for 6 years now.
Time flies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it really does. And yeah, I really, really enjoy it. You know, it's up and down, people moaning about like the algorithm and things, but I think it's really great mm-hmm. for like keeping me young in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've had to learn how to record videos, edit videos, like feel like my skills with the changes on Instagram and TikTok have just improved. So yeah, mm-hmm. I really enjoy it.
It's so nice when you like fall into something naturally.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I did fashion promotion at uni, gosh, like a very long time ago. So it was like PR, journalism and styling. So I'm actually using mm-hmm. all my skills. It was just funny because it was such a strange degree. I wanted mm-hmm. to do fashion design, but there was only two unis in the country that did non-design courses. So I went mm-hmm. to Rochester and Kent and was like, where the hell am I? I don't know where I am in the country. And I actually used quite a lot of the skills that I learned there, which is mm-hmm. so nice to be able to do.
My journey's kind of similar in that, like, it clicks once you're there and you're like, oh, it makes sense that I've ended up here from all of these things. But when you're doing all the things, you don't really realize that you're doing it.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So every now and again I go on TikTok and there's these videos, and maybe people are going to be like, that's such a weird thing to do, but it's normally videos, and I don't do this all the time, can I just say, but every now and again I'll see one and I'll be in the mood, and it's a video from somebody in their 20s asking people in their 30s questions, like, kind of, you know, if we were more a kind of physical community kind of thing, we could talk about this in real life. And so I just answer all the questions, because it's people in their 20s just being like, will I figure it out, like, is it going to be okay, should I do this, should I do that, and I just answer them all. And it's just really cute. Yeah. And I always, with that one, my career never made sense. And it still doesn't make sense to me now, but it's almost like you're just collecting pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, and slowly but surely mm-hmm. the picture becomes clearer. And mm-hmm. it all makes sense, like why that thing happened or why that happened, and why those skills are helpful. But I feel like you have to get like well into your 30s to kind of turn around and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Also feels like when you put that final puzzle piece in, well, maybe I've still got further to go, but I kind of feel like there's the one puzzle piece that you put in, and then you're suddenly like, it makes sense now. But it's not until you like put that last bit in and you've been like dabbling.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can see a corner of the picture. And that's one of the reasons I kind of went and launched I say it's an agency, it's just me, but is kind of a collection of all my skills over the past almost mm-hmm. 20 years. Okay, fine. We can see the sky now. We can see we can see a little village. I don't, it's because I'm looking at a cowboy picture. That's what I'm describing. But you know, whatever your jigsaw is.
Convenient.
Yeah. You can like start to see the, mm-hmm. the picture a lot clearer.
Yeah. Oh, so nice. Well, not even started talking about food yet.
Oh,
but
I know. I feel like this... This could be a long episode. I feel like as well I should point out that I've not pointed out that a lot of my content on Instagram is lifestyle content. So a lot of it is, mm-hmm. you know, at home. I talk about rental decorating a lot. I love kind of like tablescapes. It's very pastel. It's very feminine. That's kind of my whole vibe on Instagram. I feel like I didn't paint a clear enough picture.
Well, you've painted it now. There's lots of painting, puzzle.
I know. Oh, gosh, I know.
Chat here. I love it. Well, yeah, today we're going to be talking about your dream dinner party, which is such a fun topic. That obviously starts with hosting. So do you like to host? You say you do a lot of like lifestyle content and like dressing your own table and your home. Do you like having people around?
I love having people around. I hate leaving my house. I absolutely detest it. I mean, I do like leaving my house every now and again. I'm like an introverted extrovert, but I love to host. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things. Like, people come mm-hmm. to me, brilliant. I love it anywhere,
and then I can roll into bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really do enjoy hosting.
Oh well, so would you be hosting your dream dinner party?
Oh yeah, I'm hosting my dream dinner party. Like, I'm I think as well, as you get older, your friends, this is what it's been like for me, but my friends are all over the place. So when you go and see them, it's such a mission. So I mm-hmm. want everyone to come to me. and I want to just, yeah, roll up to bed, exactly how you said it. And I'm quite lucky because a lot of my friends do come to me when I host them, which is really nice. And when we've been in this house now for 5 years, maybe 6 years, but previously we lived in a 2-bedroom flat, and I just used to dream of having a dining room with a big table. And that's where I'm sat recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at pictures, this dining room table has just seen so many lovely things, like Christmas, Easter, birthdays, random Tuesdays where I've had friends over, brunches, lunches. And I just, you know, in that sense, my dreams come true of kind of wanting to be, have a space where people can just come round and gather and just generally have a lovely time.
That's what I love about dining, is like all the memories and things that are created around the table, like whatever that might be. It's like bringing people together to share in a moment that then disperses.
Oh, it's so, so nice. It's funny actually, because this dining room table has been reduced in size twice. We've taken the saw to it twice. So it was huge when I first built it. It's just like a sheet of MDF with hairpin legs, because at the time when we moved in, I couldn't afford to buy a dining room table. And then we took like a side off, probably, I don't know, half a meter off the side. And then last year we took like half a meter off the end. So it has got smaller, but it was ridiculous. My dad was helping me kind of get the wood for it, and he was like, are you sure you want a 2-meter dinner table? I said, yes, dad, I do. And then, like,
don't ask silly questions.
I know, yeah, absolutely, don't ask silly questions, dad. And then I moved the seats around and said, look, and like pretended if I was everybody at Christmas. And when we have my husband's family and all these, you know, brothers and sisters, he's one of five, we can't fit everybody around the table, even when it was, before it was sawn twice.
But you make it work.
We make it work.
So presumably you're hosting at your house.
I'm hosting at my house, and it's at lunchtime.
Okay.
No way am I hosting a dinner in the evening.
Okay.
Not in this time.
I don't know if we've had a lunch.
Well, what, I listened to a few episodes and I was like, wow, people are really into this evening thing. I love a boozy lunch.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm not. I know there'll be a different season in my life where I can stay up late, but we were talking previously till we started recording. I'm getting up at 6, sometimes 5. I am good for nothing after 8 p.m. I'm normally asleep by 9 o'clock. So that people need to arrive at like midday, and we'll sit down and we'll eat between like 1 and 2. And then, you know, it'll go on.
Still know you're in bed on time.
Absolutely. They'll be going at 7. I'll take my makeup off, have a little sit down with a pint of water, and be asleep by 8.
Necessary.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so we're doing a lunch.
A lunch.
At yours.
At mine.
Are you dressing the table? What are we doing? You've got a theme.
Yeah, well, I was thinking this. It really depends what time of year it is, isn't it?
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm going to go for spring, just because we're in spring. And I think there's that big lull, isn't there, between like Christmas hosting and then, you know, what's everyone doing January, February? Maybe people are hosting, but I haven't really seen my friends for a while.
Everyone goes into hibernation, don't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. So yeah, spring is just, I just think it's such a lovely time to have people around. And yeah, I'm dressing the table. I've got like a big props cupboard that's just filled to the brim with more tableware than any one person needs who isn't, you know, hosting state dinners.
My problem is I don't have that designated space, but because I do it for work, everything is just everywhere. And I'm always like, oh, well, I could just use those. And then I'll just go get those from the studio. And then I'm like, everything's all over the shop. There's too many possibilities of what to use.
I think that's the problem when you do it for work. I mean, obviously your job is different to mine, but so much stuff is for work. So I keep a lot of stuff, and we've got a garage here because we don't live in London. Mm-hmm. So the garage is also got stuff in as well. So there's the props cupboard and there's the garage. And to be honest, if I got it all together in one room, I think I'd feel a little bit ill, because there's also the kitchen shelves as well. There's a lot.
I think that's how you manage it, though. You spread it out and then you don't actually realise how much you've got.
Yeah, like if I had to move house, I think it'd be very confronting.
Very confronting. Moving is always confronting.
And also, I have ADHD, so it doesn't help, because sometimes if stuff's shut away in a cupboard, I forget that it exists. So I'll go one day and be like, oh, you actually have 25 of those because you've bought them twice. Anyway. Yeah. That's my cross to bear. But yeah, I'm dressing the table. I have a bit of a go-to colour scheme, just a really quick one when people come round. I've got a lot of pink linen. All my tablecloths are cotton, because you just want to be able to wash them on, you know, really hot temperatures, get the wax out, get the food out, get the wine out. I have a lot of cabbage ware, so the Bordello Panero, the Portuguese crockery. I've been obsessed with it. So I used to have this incredible uncle. He was called Uncle Tony and Uncle Michael. They were my uncles, but they weren't my uncles, but they were like really great friends of my parents.
Right, yes.
And they were just the most fabulous people you could ever imagine. My Uncle Michael was always in charge of like the ironing and a bit more kind of like domestic chores. And Uncle Tony was in charge of entertaining. So I grew up with them and we used to house sit for them as well, because they used to go to Mallorca for like 6 weeks periodically throughout the year. And we used to go and house sit for them because their house was fabulous. We just used to ditch our house. We were like, this house is rubbish. Let's go stay with their house. Like, there was drapes and there was all the crockery and like all these antiques and a grand piano. Like, it was so fabulous. But Uncle Tony always had the full set of Bordello Pinero, like the full, absolutely everything you can imagine in a crockery situation. And we also, every Easter, used to go and look at his Easter table. So he'd invite us round. We'd be invited for like one of the sittings. He'd do like Good Friday, he'd do Easter Sunday, and it depended like where you were on the pecking order, you know, that year as to which dinner. I personally preferred the Good Friday sitting. Just thought the food was a bit more fun. But so we used to go and look at his Easter table on like on the Thursday before Good Friday and like see what he'd done. So that's like kind of how I was brought up. So it's definitely, you don't kind of realise those influences until you're older and you're like, oh, I just turn into my Uncle Tony.
Yeah. Well, I just always aspired to be my Uncle Tony.
Yeah, honestly, he was always like flower arranging, cooking. He was like poaching a full salmon in the dishwasher. You know, that he had some skills. Yeah, you can poach a whole salmon in the dishwasher. Oh,
incredible. I love hacks like that.
Yeah, old school. Like, they were both reading Good Housekeeping. Do you know what I mean? And like really getting all the information. And they really were like fantastic hosts. And I was kind of the only kind of little girl in this situation. I used to like go around in my best outfit and then just sit with all the grown-ups and think it was like the best thing ever.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that's why I have, I blame him. That's why I have like all this Bordello Pinero crockery. But I always, it looks really nice, the green kind of cabbage plates with the pink, you know, candles, flowers.
I love
it. Yeah, it's such a great colour combination. And yeah, I don't like too many ornate flowers. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I don't like anything to look too done. I don't want it to look too neat. But yeah, whatever flowers are in season. What are we at the moment? We're in tulips. Ranunculus are on the way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Icelandic poppies. Are they here yet?
Yeah.
I love an Icelandic poppy.
Yeah, they're good.
Like just pop in the little, like, you know, the casing and then they just unfurl.
So satisfying.
Aren't they amazing?
So satisfying.
Are you supposed to leave them? Have you... Or are you like are you supposed to pull them off, you know, the little case?
No, you take them off.
Okay, fine. Because I feel I kind of like pick at them like a spot, ripping the casing off.
I just, whenever I see stuff like that, I'm like, nature's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
How is it?
I'm just nodding violently because on the school run this morning, I just kept going on. I was like, oh my gosh. It was really grey, but there was like signs of spring. It's like, just look at it. Just look at it. Nature is amazing in that sense.
Yeah, like even like I did some seed planting last weekend and I'm like, these seeds will just be plants. Like, how does it work?
It is. It's incredible. It's just this time of year. I'd like to have flowers in my house all the time, even, you know, if it's just a £1 bunch of daffodils. But there is that period between, like, again, Christmas and February where you can get a bunch of tulips, but there's not a lot going on, is there? And then all of a sudden you're kind of like drowning in your flower options.
Okay, so your table, we're going, are you going to use all your cabbage ware?
Yeah, I have to, you know, like there's just so much of it. And I also don't have, I feel like when you host as well, it's tricky. You either go down the mix match route because, you know, you've got your everyday plates. So you've got like, you know, four plates or six plates, however big your family is.
Yeah.
But then when you go to host, you need to up the numbers. So it's quite tricky because, you know, you're not a professional setup. So you either go mix and match, or like I have enough to host 12, or then I could call my mum up and borrow her Bordello plates to push it to 16.
I like that you've got a backup.
Oh yeah, me and mum like have kind of coordinated our tableware so that we can call each other up.
Yeah, you can borrow mine on this day, but I need yours on this day.
Yeah, we sound quite fancy. Okay. We're not. We just like fancy crockery.
Just like the same thing.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's quite scary. And then candles. I just love a really simple tapered, not even tapered. Just you know, it is a tapered candle, isn't it? I just love candlelight. I've got a candle right now. I just think it's so so magical, and it just adds to the ambience. Yeah.
Sets the tone.
And it's at lunchtime, so you know, the light, we're going to be able to see each other.
Yeah, perfect. And it's spring, so you never know what the weather's going to be like outside. You might need that extra light.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, some nice flowers, nothing too done. And then I've got like vintage, not crockery, what's the word for knife and forks?
Cutlery.
Cutlery, that's the word.
You really made me think then. I was like, shit, this is my job and I can't remember the word.
Yeah, we've got like cutlery. I know, I literally was, there's a word for knife and forks, a collective. I don't know what it is. Just like, no, I don't never want anything to feel too done. Like, it always looks like I've made an effort, but I'm not a neat presenter of, you know, of a table, if that makes sense.
I think also when you've got people coming round to your house, you know, you don't ever, like, I'm the same. I don't want it to feel too fancy. You want it to feel like homely and cozy and thrown together.
Yeah, like the best version of my house, but like, yeah. I still want it to feel like my house. Yeah, just my house where no children or husbands live.
Who are you inviting? So you get one dead, one alive, one fictional.
I'm already going to break the rules because I'm going to invite two people that are alive and I feel like there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Okay, go for it.
First up, Adele.
Okay.
I feel like people might think I would go with Elton John, and I would like to invite Elton, but I feel like I've already pushed it to two, so I can't push it to three.
But if somebody dropped out, he'd be your backup.
Yeah, Elton would be my backup. But yeah, Adele. I just love Adele. I had tickets to go and see Adele, and then she cancelled her concert, and I've never quite forgiven her, but I just think she would be a riot. Maybe she wouldn't. Maybe, you know, never meet your heroes, but I just adore her. But then I'd really want her to bring Alan Carr.
Yeah.
Just feel like as a duo, they would work really well as a duo. So can I invite Alan and Adele?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, fine. I'll allow it. But I just feel like they'd work really well together as a duo. But if I couldn't have Alan, I would just have Adele. But if I could invite the duo. And also, you know, it's going to be quite a raucous lunch, I think, as the guest list unfolds. So
I think that's the key thing with this. You've got to like think about how they will work together as well. You don't want three people who are going to hate each other.
Yeah, I think I've got to invite a few of my friends as well, just to like sprinkle in between the loud personalities that are going to be here. And I just feel like my friends are so kind of nosy that they would just ask celebrities all the questions you're not supposed to ask them. So I definitely just have to have a couple of like normals there amongst the Adeles and Alan Cars.
Break up the table plan.
Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't have Adele and Alan sat next to each other.
Chaos.
Opposite end of the table.
They'd probably still be shouting across the table though.
Oh, absolutely. But at least a good vibe. Yeah, buffer of a couple of people in between.
So there, you're alive. Who have you got next?
So my dead person is Freddie Mercury. I think I just said I adore Adele, but I adore Freddie Mercury. Like, I love him. I just think he's fabulous. I'm a big fan of Queen. I'm a big fan of their music, but I'm also just a big fan of Freddie. And when I kind of referred to my uncles earlier, I read his husband's book, Jim Hutton? And he talks about his life with Freddie. And their house is actually up for sale recently because he left it to his friend Mary. And it's just everything I kind of thought it would be. And it does very much remind me of my uncle's house, but on a much grander kind of millionaire rock star scale. And I just think he would be a really wonderful guest because he used to throw incredible parties. But I feel like he would also be good at a lunch as well. So I thought long and hard, but Freddie Mercury, if I could meet one person dead, it would definitely be Freddie Mercury.
I mean, this is a group already.
I am worried it could go a bit pear-shaped. Everyone could be a bit much, but obviously I'm hoping as well. I've kind of had my dream dinner party in a way, because when I got married, that was my dream dinner party. So I hired a white piano, got my friend Jack, who was a pianist, he offered to play, and we had a karaoke session, and I got a songbook with, I think we had five or six songs, and we typed out all the lyrics and dished out songbooks. So I would just casually just hire a white piano and just slip it down the side in the hopes that Adele and Freddie
hope for the best. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, you know, a little
prompt. Yeah, like, oh, I didn't even know that piano was there.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, I don't know what that is. Yeah, if you want to have a bit of a sing song,
anybody know how to play?
Yeah, Freddie knows how to play. It's fine. I was just thinking for a second. I was like, does Adele know how to play? But it's Freddie can play. And they could, we could all have a lovely time. And I've probably got a similar singing voice, the same as Alan Carr's, so we'd be fine.
You have like both ends of the scale.
talent and the talentless. Alan's very talented, but, you know, I just imagine singing-wise, we're in the same place.
Are you having a fictional guest too?
I am having a fictional guest. So my fictional guest would be Captain Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I've never watched it.
Oh, no. My gosh. My husband was like, I went through the questions with him just to kind of see what his answers were. And he was like, that is going to be such a random choice if she has never seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I was like, no, it's fine. You need to watch it. So Captain Raymond Holt, how to describe his character? So he's a police captain and he self-references the fact that he was a police captain in the 70s and he's black and he's homosexual. That's kind of a very key plot point because he's very straight-faced. But then slowly but surely, you start to see this personality kind of come out of him. And I just think he's one of the funniest TV characters of all time. The actor actually died recently, probably a month or two ago, which was really, really sad because he is my favorite fictional character of all time. Oh, so okay. You need to watch it now. But I'm hoping that Freddie, Alan, Adele will bring out that kind of fun side of Captain Raymond Holt, not the serious side, because he, like I say, throughout the series, he has this really hilarious, and the way that he just delivers his comedy is just so deadpan. Mm-hmm. It just absolutely has me in stitches. So that would be my very random dinner party guests with a few of my friends thrown in, because if I told them that, you know, Freddie and Adele were coming around, they'd just turn up.
Yeah, they'd be like, sorry, where's our invitation? Yeah, not having this dinner party without us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, amazing. What a guest list. So, I mean, a lot of your guests, well, a couple of your guests are musicians. But what music? There's a lot of pressure with music then. What music are you going to play?
Yeah, it is. I have a few playlists that I like to crack out for a dinner party. So I've got my liked songs on Spotify, which up until a certain point, even though it's not a playlist, I know is quite good, but then it kind of goes into like where I've got PMT and it really takes a nosedive where I've liked some songs. And then I go back when I'm not in that mood and I'm like, oh, they're a bit sad.
A bit mood killer.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, for our wedding, we curated a kind of Martin Scorsese vibe, you know, that kind of like big band, kind of like really rich. It kind of like 50s, 60s, that kind of girl band vibe. So you've kind of got like your Frank Sinatra and your Dean Martin, and then you've got like the Shirelles. So I do like that kind of like really rich sound at that time. So I think I would pop that on and then just hope the piano that I'd hired casually gets played. But that's the kind of vibe that I like. What other music do I like to play? I do like a good 70s mix as well. Like I listened to another podcast and I think it was Daisy and Liv Tinker of Salad Days. And they were saying how they would just have modern music. And I can't think of anything worse. I don't know any modern music.
Modern music is so vague.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Arctic Monkeys are about as modern as it gets for me. But yeah, I do generally like to listen to a lot of vintage and old school music. So that's what I would have on.
Also, if it takes you back to like your wedding playlist, that's always a nice like...
Yeah, I was really pleased with our wedding playlist. You couldn't hear any of it. You couldn't hear an actual note. We curated this playlist for hours and our friends and family were so loud that it was just pointless. But we did have the gift of the wedding playlist, and I get it out, you know, every now and again. And I'm like, this is a really great playlist.
So food, what are you going to be eating at your dinner party? Are you a foodie generally?
I am a foodie to the point where it's almost annoying. Like it is annoying. I cannot stand a bad meal, even like a bad breakfast or lunch. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that when you've got kids. There's just a lot of bad food. You know, you just sometimes need to eat. I eat a lot of my food standing up at the kitchen counter because I can't be bothered to put it on a plate to then have to wash the plate up. So I eat a lot of it stood up over the sink or the chopping board. Do you do that? I wonder if sometimes. It's a female thing.
I think it depends what mood I'm in. If I'm like, oh, like can't be, like got too many things on, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to eat it here and then.
Yeah, I'd never skip the meal. Like that's not an option.
Yeah, there's a line.
I'd never skip the meal, but like I'm just kind of in the fridge, just kind of like throwing things on the chopping board till I've eaten enough food. And I'm like, I'm full now, right, let's go. And you've only got one knife and a chopping board to wash up. But when we go anywhere or I go anywhere, you know, on holiday or a little city breakaway, that it's punctuated by meals. And I ideally like to go with somebody who's going to share every single meal with me.
So you can eat like double the amount of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I want to be getting through it.
Agree.
So, and I also think with that, you've got to have an early lunch and a late dinner. So a 12 o'clock lunch and then like a 7:30 dinner.
So you can elongate them as much as possible.
Yeah. You can't be sitting down for a 2, a 2 o'clock lunch and then having a 7:30 dinner.
Especially if you're trying to try all the things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm book a trip, pin all of the places I want to eat on a map.
That's the
only
way to
do it. And then work everything else around it.
What else is there to do?
Well, not everybody does it like that, apparently.
Yeah, I had a friend, she's still one of my really good friends, just not that bothered about food. I'd love to be. To be honest, it would free up a lot of my time.
I'm not sure I like fully trust people who just like say that they just eat to survive.
Yeah, no, it's not for me. And do you know what's worse is that I've noticed, like, my 6-year-old, for example, talks a lot about food being in season. Obviously, I talk about in season food a lot. For example, I don't know if you know this, but kids love summer fruits. Like, if you put a bowl of strawberries or blueberries in front of kids, they don't care how much they cost, they will eat the whole bowl. So I always tell my daughter, we can't have strawberries, they're not in season. When they're in season, fine, she can absolutely eat until she's sick. And I tell her, I was like, you know, it's because they don't taste as good. And so now, what did I give her recently? Oh, so we don't really buy tomatoes in the winter because they're just awful. Mommy, these tomatoes, they're just not in season. I've created a monster.
I love that though. She's going to be such a knowledgeable kid.
She's going to be a diva.
Diva. But like the best kind of diva. One that's like, I'm not eating those shit tomatoes.
They're not in season. What are you doing with strawberries in December? They're not in season. But is there anything better though? Than eating in season food. I know I sound like a meme. What is it? Clapton Housewives.
Real Housewives of Clapton.
Yeah, that's the one. So I saw one. My friend messaged me the other day. She now lives in the Peak District and she sent me a picture of the wild garlic. And it's been in my diary for the past 2 weekends to go and pick wild garlic.
I actually saw one last night and I was like, I feel personally victimized by this meme.
Was it the one where it's Rocky?
Just running.
Yeah. Yeah, so I haven't been wild garlic picking. We have, I have a location, but I don't know where it is. My husband has it pinned on his phone. I can't remember what, like, because it's a nondescript location. It's just in the middle of the countryside. And I can never remember where it is. And my husband, after 2 years of driving me around, I was like, I think this looks familiar. He has it pinned on his phone, so he knows to drive me to the exact location.
Not messing around this year.
Yeah, absolutely. But oh my gosh,
that's so funny because we've got I always do it around Easter weekend because we usually go to my mum's in Dorset on Easter weekend, and I know where the spot is in Dorset because the first time I just like wandered around until I found some, and then I struck gold. And there's like a whole bank of it. And now every year I just go back there.
It's so, well, it's back to what we said earlier. Like, isn't nature incredible? Flowers, food, like it's such, I just think honouring the seasons and nature is just such a gratifying way to live. Because you're just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
It's satisfying as well when you're like, this is the best that this is going to be.
Oh my gosh, honestly, I can't wait for those tomatoes to come back into the house.
Well, that's what I was planting last weekend. They got a bit wild planting tomatoes last year. It was the first time I'd ever done it. And I've got like a communal shared garden, so I can't plant things in beds. So it's like, I planted all these seeds and had no idea what I was doing, and they all did amazingly. So then I had this like mini tomato farm last summer.
Have you seen my face? I'm actually fuming. I planted tomatoes the first time last year and it went so badly. And there's people like yourself who's like, yeah, just did it and it worked. I put so much time and effort into my research and it was terrible.
I hate when that happens because I also grew some other things and they just were like, no, not playing ball.
Did they not? And also my granddad used to grow an abundance of tomatoes. So I was like, it's in my genes. I've got this. Mm. I've got my granddad on my side. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And it was not fine. I've got 3 different varieties. One were like, you know, those like kind of like mottled green, mottled green and red ones. Mm-hmm. And then some like yellow, is it piccolo tomatoes?
Yeah.
And then just, actually, I think it was just those 2 types because I thought you can get your red bog standard tomatoes in the, you know, at the greengrocer, supermarket, whatever. I'll dabble with some other varieties. What did you go for?
I had some sun gold ones, which are like the kind of like cherry tomatoes, but the yellow ones, which were delish. And then I just tried to do some normal red ones, which were good, but like nothing special. So yeah, I think quite easy ones. Whereas this year I've gone, well, I'm obviously a tomato expert, so I'm going to try and grow the like green zebra ones and all those fancy ones.
Do you know what way your garden faces?
It's not south facing.
No, mine's definitely not. But
because I had to do them in pots. I was just like constantly moving them around.
Oh, were you into the sun?
Well, until I found a spot that they liked.
Okay, fine. Mm. Right, maybe I need to be a bit more fluid with the movement of my tomatoes.
I'll send you a pic.
Thank you, appreciate that. Really gone off topic.
It got a bit out of hand, and I think all my other neighbours that share said garden were like, maybe rein it in this year.
Did you give them tomatoes?
Well, yeah, I did. I offered them
all
tomatoes.
What's the problem? Rude. Are you planting from seed?
Yeah, from seed.
Outside or inside?
Inside. Into a little
Till they get...
Okay. Yeah, till they're like... And then I planted them out into smaller pots and then eventually put them in like a cold frame. Because that's as greenhousey as I can get in a shared garden. Right. And then planted them out after that.
Okay, maybe. Okay, taking notes.
I love tomato chat. I'll chat to anyone about tomatoes.
I'd love tomatoes. But there's nothing better than tomatoes just sliced, oiled, salted.
Yeah.
Oh, my mouth's watering. They're just amazing. But yeah, in short, I'm a foodie, yeah.
Okay. I forgot where that started. Okay, so starter, what are you having?
Well, I want canapés first.
Okay, canapés. No, sorry.
Canapés, I feel like I would just eat canapés for the rest of my life.
I am on the same train.
I just love canapés. I just love them. And when people come, this is probably irresponsible. I don't really drink that much anymore, but what I do like, and this is very, what I'm about to say is very irresponsible, okay? But I like the first drink on an empty stomach with some canapés. Is it James Acaster who does that bit about being tipsy? Have you ever seen, he does like a little sketch? And that's all
I'm
I want.
Sure.
There's just two drinks. That's all I want. Yeah. I don't want loads of drinks, just two. And I want that tipsy period to last as long as possible. So I always think a drink on arrival with canapés and that first drink, you're just feeling good.
It's good vibes.
So I do canapés. I don't know what I would do canapé wise. I mean, I do like a smoked salmon bellini. Mm-hmm. I know that it's really basic, but it's a classic.
No, I like them too.
I also saw recently Ellie Pear on Instagram did this platter of crisps. It was a dill crisp. I did actually Google image search the crisp because it looked like such a good crisp. They weren't.
Did you find it?
No, I don't know where she got them from. I need to message her. But she had a platter of dill crisps. I actually can't talk that. I'm so hungry thinking about them. And then on the crisps, she had smoked rainbow trout with creme fraiche with, is it cod roe, the orangey caviar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have I said sour cream? I don't know if I've said sour cream. And then dill.
Yeah.
So it was almost like a nacho.
Oh, but yeah.
Like, you know.
Or like a blini, salmon. But with a crisp on the bottom.
Yeah, but like it was just a big pile. Like on a big platter plate. I cannot wait to serve those. Next
so they weren't all individually?
No,
it
no.
Was
it was
like nacho. Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Ooh, it was like a fancy Swedish nacho. Obviously, there's no melted cheese, but yeah. So you got
Why
your dill crisps.
Has nobody ever done that before?
Well, she then tagged somebody else who she got the inspiration from. And I was like, hang on, have we all been doing this wrong?
Because I'm sure there's loads of ways that you could do that with different dips and stuff.
Yeah, like a really fresh kind of crisp situation. Yeah. And I just love fish. So with this, you know, the rainbow trout.
And I feel like you can't have people around without having crisps. So.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the perfect way to slide them in.
Yeah. So I'd probably have some oysters because I adore oysters.
Right.
I just love them. With
I'm actually not a fan.
Are you not a fan?
No.
I would like to see how oysters I could eat in one sitting. I just love them. What is it you don't like? If you don't like them, you don't like them.
I don't know. Like, I've tried, but it's just not for me.
Do you know what I don't like? An olive.
I love an olive.
And I've tried and tried and tried.
I actually didn't used to like olives and then really wanted to like olives, so kept eating olives, and now I adore olives. So I
really want to be in that place.
Maybe you just got to keep going.
I can't. They're disgusting.
Have you tried lots of different types of olives? Because I don't like some olives.
My friend, she's got a cheese shop and she has brought me, you know, the best olives out there. They're just every single one she brings me, I hate.
She's just disappointed every time.
Yeah, every time. But I'd have oysters, an abundance of oysters.
Okay.
With shallot vinegar. I'm not that bothered about Tabasco. Maybe my guests would like it. Okay. Smoked salmon bellinis and my big crisp dill sour cream salmon platter.
Gorgeous.
If you don't like fish, don't come round. I'm going to stop there.
No, please don't. Please continue.
So we'd have some drinks. And I do like just a wonderfully cold, like it has to be cold, bottle of champagne. It has to have gone in the fridge the day before. I'm not having lukewarm bubbles.
Agree with you. It's just not worth it.
Well, because I don't drink very often, I just don't want a bad drink. For as much as I don't want a bad meal, it's just wasted. So, yeah, some really nice champagne.
Crisp
or Cava.
And cold.
I will. Yeah, it has to be cold. And I will go for a Cava, never a Prosecco. I can't stand Prosecco.
Okay.
I just know. It's sweet and it's horrible and it's gross.
I actually didn't realise how different they all are, like, until I went to a hen do last year and we did like a sparkling wine tasting.
Did you?
Yeah, it was so fun. Highly
that
recommend.
Sounds great.
Like way more like bougie and fun than a normal wine tasting. So you're like, oh, sparkles, sparkles, sparkles. And he's like teaching you about the bubbles and stuff. It was great.
I bet there was not much teaching going on by the end.
No, by the end, everyone was drinking whatever was in front of them.
This Prosecco that I said I did not like earlier is actually exceptional.
By the end, everyone was like, which is the most expensive one again?
Yeah, I don't think it's about the price. Yeah, it's about the taste. And I sound like I know a lot about wine. I really don't. But I just, Cava and champagne, great. Prosecco, no. Not for you.
Not for you.
I mean, at a push, I will.
If there's no other choices. Okay, so that's canapés. What are we doing for starter?
Well, the problem is, I don't know if you need a starter after the canapés. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then if people are expecting a starter, I don't know.
We can skip the starter if you feel like canapés is...
Yeah, I just think some really great bread... Like really great bread and butter, like flavoured butter. Do you know what I mean? Like your wild garlic butter that I've been out foraging for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like the bread is the main attraction.
Yeah. What else do you make with your wild garlic?
Pesto. I'm a bit basic in that department. Same. I know there's so many other things you can do, but I'm just making pesto and butter. What about you?
Same, usually make pesto and butter. And then last year I also made wild garlic salt.
Did you?
Yeah. It was very bougie.
I feel like we'll talk more about that.
Yeah,
we'll just go off another tangent.
It was quite easy. It's quite easy, actually. You just kind of like dry it out and then you like make it into... Oh, I can't remember. I'll have to find it and send it to you. I think you make it into like a paste and then you like mix it in with the salt flakes and then you like leave it out on a tray to dry out. I feel like it was quite simple, so I was like, oh yeah, I'll give it a go.
Okay, I might add that to the repertoire this year.
Yeah, it was good.
I had a bread platter to end all bread platters in February. I went to the Sportsman in Kent, so I don't know if you've ever been.
No, never.
I've always wanted to go. Like I say, I went to uni in Kent and I've lived in Kent for years and I just had never been. And we were going to see our friends and my friend said, the Sportsman's got a £40 tasting menu. And I was like, amazing. Anyway, the food was exceptional. But this bread that they brought out, oh my God, I've just, like, if I could be alone in the room with the bread. It was so delicious. There was like a rye kind of bread. One of the breads was sweet. One of the breads had like this, like rosemary bread. It was all just, it was good bread.
So is that what you'd have, a bread platter, bread mix?
A bread medley. Thank you. A bread medley. And also you need to soak it up after the kind of boozy canapé situation. You just need to bring everyone down a notch because if you just keep going along that road.
Yeah, so you just have some bread.
Have some bread, guys. Chill out. Have some bread. Calm down. All right?
If you could only eat one bread for the rest of your life, one type of bread, what would you pick?
Oh, I'm going to say, honestly, I would pick... I'd love to just say Warburton's White Slice, but it's absolutely not. We've got a bakery near us, and it's called Grain of Truth Bakery, and they sell this sourdough. It's called a New York Sour. It's exceptional. It's like, you know when sourdough is really sour, and it's got that, like, twang to it? Yeah. I'd eat that. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're in London, you're spoilt for choice for good bread, but it took a long time for Lincolnshire to get some good sourdough, okay? A very long time.
Sacred sourdough.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm there every week buying things, even if I can't afford it, just to keep them in business.
Fair. You're like, well, I need you.
Yeah, I need you.
Don't leave me.
But yeah, it's such good sourdough. I love sourdough. Okay. I just love
it. Yeah, I love sourdough too.
Yeah, I am a meme.
I think though, sourdough. If I had to pick one bread for life, I'd pick focaccia.
Yeah.
I'm just really on focaccia hype at the moment.
I know what you mean. And a really good focaccia, you just can't go wrong.
Just with like loads of, like an oily focaccia. When it's dry, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like you want to be wiping your fingers down afterwards.
Yeah, and like just sea salt and rosemary.
Yes, you're not wrong. Or a nice tomato focaccia as well, actually.
Yeah.
Put all of our loves together.
A sun-dried tomato focaccia, even better.
Or a sun-dried tomato wild garlic focaccia.
Oh, stop. adding to list to make Easter weekend. Yeah. I'm so hungry too. I haven't had breakfast today.
Have you not?
Disaster, no.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot how hungry this podcast makes me.
I had a cottage cheese omelette and avocado. I've got that protein in.
Did you eat it off a plate or did you eat it at the sink?
No, I ate it off a plate. I treated myself today.
Good. okay, so no starter, just a bread medley. Main?
I've been round and round in my head about this.
Main's hard, I think.
Main is hard. I think when you've got guests around as well, you don't really want to be in the kitchen. You can be in the kitchen too much. And I think you've just got to be really... I mean, if that's fine, if that's your vibe, but my kitchen and my dining room are separate. So I can't be with my guests while I'm in the kitchen. I know a lot of people's layouts that they can be in the kitchen and be in the dining room, but mine isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have to be quite conscious. They're having a great time and I'm in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, what was that? What was that bit of gossip? And they're like, oh, you missed it. Yeah, so I feel like this is, I know I talk about my wedding, but it was the ultimate dinner party and we had lobster mac and cheese.
Ooh, delish.
I didn't make it, obviously. I wasn't
We have to get them to make it.
Yeah, it was so good though. A local chef made it called Rosie and she, what a lobster mac and cheese that was.
That sounds
on our first anniversary, I actually got it made again.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it was so good. And she said that she used an old school Ivy recipe from the Ivy. So I don't know if it's still around, but like it has to be a bit fishy. But I've already served a lot of fish, but I love fish. I just
That's
love
fine.
It.
You've got a theme. So
I'd serve a lobster mac and cheese. And then, do you know what I love?
Go
a
on.
Good salad. A good green salad with a really zingy dressing.
Yeah.
So it'd have to be, I don't know how to pronounce this. Is it Ricciardo? Is that the lettuce?
It's Radicchio.
Oh, Radicchio. Yeah. See, I sometimes see words written down. And I have no idea how to pronounce them.
And you make up something in your head that you're like, that's it.
Yeah, Radicchio.
You never
Who
have
knew?
To say it out loud.
But you know that I just love that kind of salad, like just quite crunchy. You've got to put
fresh.
Got to chew it, but like with a really nice dressing, like homemade French dressing. I don't think you could beat that because you need to like cut through the creaminess of the mac and cheese with like a really zingy salad. So I might even like put some walnuts on the salad, like I do, like a crunch of a nut as well. I've got to get out more. I've just think about food. I'm a big texture person as well. So like I always want like, say if you have like the mac and cheese, it's quite squishy and not soggy, but you know what I mean? And then you need like a good crunch of the salad to balance it out. So that's what I do. It's quite simple, but the mac and cheese is in the oven. The salad's kind of there. You've just got to put the dressing on. It's done. And there's, you know, it's enough food for people to have like more than one portion if they want. Very
delicious.
Simple.
Comforting, homely.
Yeah. Like bit fancy because we've chucked some lobster in there.
Chucked some lobster in.
Just chucked it in.
I'm going to Google this Ivy lobster mac and cheese recipe.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what she said. You need to kind of make a fish... like a bit of a fish bisque, which is a bit annoying to then like run through the mac and cheese. It is quite a faff to make, but so worth it. I can't tell you.
Okay. Are you having different drinks with Maine?
You know, I'll get some wine, but I'm kind of done by that point. I've had my two glasses on arrival. I am a fan of an orange wine. I must say. Such a cliche, but it's very trendy in London. But I don't live in London, and we've only just got started getting the orange wines in Lincolnshire. They've hit Lincolnshire. I go to London a lot for work, so I get to eat a lot of nice food. But I think a nice orange wine, natural wine. I don't know why, just because it's natural makes me think I can have another glass and then have three instead of two glasses. But yeah, that's what I'd serve. But I, like I say, I'm not a big wine person, so I'm hoping people have brought what they want to drink. And then I do like a nice sparkling water, San Pellegrino. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, sounds delicious. I'm hungry now.
Good. I'm glad. You can come round.
Thank you. I'll just be lingering by the piano.
Kelly, what are you doing by the piano that's in the corner?
It's like a little hint.
This thing.
Yeah, who are you, and where's there a piano?
Maybe one of you could play the piano.
Okay, dessert. Are you a dessert person?
Oh, yeah, I really am. I can't have savoury without having sweet. Are you?
Yeah, I like to have something sweet after something savoury. But I think I'm more of a savoury person generally.
I'm 50-50. I want my cake and eat it. I like, do not give me a cheese board for dessert. I'll take a cheese board after the pudding.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I'm with you, like savoury, sweet, savoury. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, just I could keep going like that forever. Not a problem. But yeah, I love a dessert. And do you know what really annoys me? When people don't have a chocolate dessert on the menu. Like, obviously not at somebody's house, but I mean like when you go to a restaurant.
Yeah, how dare you only have one dessert on the menu?
Yeah, like a fruity dessert. Not interested. I mean, you know, I will go for, at the moment, obviously rhubarb and blood orange. And, you know, I will have a seasonal dessert, but generally I want chocolate.
Yeah, you can't beat a chocolate dessert.
Oh, I love chocolate. So I also think that people don't make their chocolate rich enough. Like I want it to be 70%. Like I always think that vegan chocolate desserts are the best ones because the chocolate is so rich and just like I want it to knock me out almost. So I would do either a chocolate mousse or like, is it chocolate? Again, here she goes, the pronunciation. The chocolate parve, you know, where it's like a chocolate brick.
Oh, yeah. I know like what you mean. I'm not sure, like, on the pronunciation either.
Yeah, it's like just a really kind of like a cheesecake texture, but not. And it's just really rich and just, yeah that's what we're having for dessert. And people can have ice cream or cream with it, but I just want the chocolate.
What would you have? Would you have ice cream or cream?
Neither. I'm not interested.
Oh, just the chocolate.
Yeah. People, when I was younger and I used to go to parties, like when I was a kid, I used to have my jelly and ice cream in separate bowls. Mm-hmm. I don't really like stuff like melting on top of other stuff. And as you get older, the old teeth, you kind of be having like tucking into ice cream and teeth are sensitive. And then I want decaf Yorkshire tea after that as well.
Nice.
I'll serve coffee if people want it, but I just want a cup of tea.
Yeah,
for the sing song.
A cup of tea with a couple of pieces of chocolate in the evening. It's like top tier.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what is top tier? When you go to a restaurant and they bring out chocolates that they've made.
Yes, with the bill.
It's like a little surprise.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me happier.
If you could only eat one type of chocolate for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Tony's, the orange one. Yeah, that's the one with the salt in, isn't it? The caramel. But I do like the dark blue one with the pretzel in. But yeah, Tony's every single time.
Have you had the Ben and Jerry's one?
Oh, the brownie.
Yeah.
It's like the Tony's with the brownie in. Mm. Yeah, that's exceptional. I tell you what chocolate ice cream I really like. Have you had the Hackney Gelato? Is it called? No.
I know what you mean, but I've not had it.
Yeah. So their chocolate ice cream is vegan. This is what I'm saying.
Ooh.
With a vegan chocolate pudding. They're just giving you the chocolate. They're not messing around. It's the best chocolate ice cream you will ever eat. It's unbelievable.
Noted.
And again, trying to find that where I am, like a needle in a haystack.
So entertainment, I mean, we've touched on said piano.
If Freddie and Adele are not knocking out the tunes, I'm off to bed.
What would be your tunes of choice?
Oh, what, for Freddie and
one
Adele?
One from each.
I feel like Adele would like really bring it down though. Do you know what I mean? Because all her songs are so sad, but they're so beautiful.
Maybe you have her first, then Freddie brings it back up.
I mean, Skyfall would be quite good in, you know.
Oh, yeah. It'd be very dramatic end to a dinner party.
And then I do just like Someone Like You, but it's just, we're just bringing the whole vibe of the dinner party down. But we're also watching Adele sing a song. So, you know, we're just happy to witness. What Queen song? I mean, you'd want Bohemian Rhapsody just to get the most bang for your buck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally.
For the longest
time.
And
I feel like everybody would really get involved.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that that's my favourite Queen song. But then if you had Freddie, you'd be like, oh, well, you might as well just sing the 8-minute song if you're only going to sing one song. Do you know what I mean? I do like Someone to Love. I do like Freddie's solo stuff as well. The Great Pretender as well, and I Was Born to Love You. I mean, okay. They're quite dramatic songs. But yeah, whatever they want to sing, I don't mind.
Maybe they could start with their stuff and then move on to just a medley of other things.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, actually, I've prepared some song sheets for the group.
Very spontaneously. That's okay. Took the liberty.
Yeah, just quickly got my printer out and just had a little go.
Oh, fun. Okay, would you have any other entertainment, or are we sticking with the piano?
No, we're done.
I mean, why would you when...
Yeah, we do like to play card games at dinner, like Uno and things, but mm-hmm. not when I've got these guys around.
I would like to see that group playing Uno together, though.
Have you played Dobble?
Yeah.
I love Dobble.
I get very competitive in Dobble. It's quite stressful.
My inner Monica Geller comes out.
It's just like, if you get behind, you just can't pick it back up. Then yeah, you just get more and more increasingly frustrated.
You're like, well, there is one on this card. Why can't I see it?
It's like your eyes just stop working. Oh, yeah, I would like to see that group playing that.
I'll get Dobble out. I feel like Alan might take it too far as well.
Yeah.
Throwing things around.
Or like maybe like having a hissy fit because he can't, it's not working.
Yeah, I think it would be Dobble. Everyone would fall out and then leave.
Yeah. And then you'd be like, perfect, it's time for me to go to bed anyway.
Great, it's actually 6 o'clock and you've all been here way too long. Good night.
I was done after the sing-along. Right, I've got some quick fire questions for you. What is something that you always have in the cupboard, like in the kitchen cupboard?
In the fridge, I always have sliced smoked cheese.
Love that.
Like applewood.
Yeah.
Eggs and smoked cheese. I just feel like you can do a lot with eggs and smoked cheese.
What is your favourite takeaway of choice?
I feel like it's picking my favourite children. We don't have a lot of takeaway options here, to be honest. I do love an Indian takeaway. Nothing beats it. We've got a really, really great Indian takeaway here called Everest, and it's so good. But I also like a nice sourdough pizza as well. Again, we have this takeaway place here called Slow Rise Pizza, and they have a pizza called the Smoky. It's smoked cheese, and then it's got sage on it with some pine nuts, some sun-dried tomatoes, and like a spicy, like, honey kind of drizzle. It's unbelievable.
That sounds so good. What's your go-to snack?
I mean, a banana. So boring. We go through bananas in our house. I'm not kidding. We must be on like 20 a week. I have them. My husband has them. The kids have them.
What is your favourite cookbook?
These questions are really hard.
Sorry.
No, it's
or like fine. One you reach for them like the most.
Oh, I do like a Jamie Oliver one. The Jamie Oliver one I reach for a lot. I've got an Ellie Pear one I reach for a lot. A Melissa Hemsley one. I've just got a new Anna Jones. I just love cookbooks.
Oh yeah, I haven't bought the new Anna Jones one.
Oh well, I got sent it away. You know, not to name drop, but that it's really good. But I must say, do you know what I use more than any cookbook? And that's the Good Food website. I just love the Good.
It is great.
If I Google any recipe, I'll always go for the Good Food option first, and 9 out of 10 times they do not fail me. We cook for Easter is a salmon en croûte, and it's like a double layered salmon, and you actually press the salmon for 24 hours to get a lot of the juice out, so it's almost cured, and then it's got this like cream cheese and spinach filling. It's from Good Food, and I've been making it for 5 years on the trot, just a random Good Food.
Just
very, very good. Shout out to, if anybody's listening from Good Food, you're doing the Lord's work.
Okay, one more. What are your top three spices? Like, if you could only have three, like, spices, herbs.
Okay, cumin, right off the bat. I make shishuka every single Sunday, and I'm quite intrigued by how much cumin I get through, to be honest.
It is, like, the flavour of cumin is so good.
Yeah, it's such a good one. Mm. And then a really boring one, but oregano, I think, is great, because I can't always, as much as I try to keep fresh herbs alive, I've tried every method going, from keeping them in the fridge, and sometimes I just don't have it. So I think that's just a really good one to just like chuck in tomato sauces and stuff.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd like to use fresh herbs all the time because they're amazing. Sumac. Sumac is the other one. I love sumac for dressing. Okay. I just think it's such an incredible, incredible spice. I was quite decisive about my spices.
Yeah, you were very decisive about the spices.
Yeah.
Know what you use.
Yeah, I do. I could see them in my cupboard. The cupboard's full, but I would say they're probably the three.
The standouts.
That I reach for the most. Well. Sumac. I love like wetting my finger and just dipping it in and just having it.
I think we should maybe end there.
Yeah, sorry, this has been quite a long recording.
No, so good. Thank you so much for coming on. It was so fun. What a fun dinner party.
I'm literally thinking, what am I going to eat now? Monday is the big shop day. There's nothing in the house. I don't think I've got a banana.
I just got like leftovers.
Good leftovers?
Good leftovers. We had people round on Friday and I made Thai food, so I have good leftovers.
Oh, great leftovers.
Yeah. I'll have to have a rummage through the fridge. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tables to Talk About. If you enjoyed it, I'd absolutely love if you would subscribe and leave us a review. It really helps people find us and allows me to get the absolute best guests that I can for you. If we've inspired you to get hosting and you fancy yourself some playful tableware or you need help setting the scene for an upcoming event, you can follow us at Studio Dine on socials or check out our website studiodine.com for more. I'll see you next time.